her race. It was later ruled that she could not be fired because of her affiliation with the Communist Party. However, she was again fired after four different speeches she wrote were deemed offensive by the university. On October 13, 1970, she was arrested for her connection to the Marin County Court Rebellion, where the weapons used had been registered to her. In 1972, she was found not guilty. It was her time spent in prison and her relationship with George Jackson that convinced her to fight against the prison industrial complex. Davis continues her activism to this day. She has taught at several universities and today is currently a distinguished professor in the Women's Gender Studies Department at Syracuse University. WPFW salutes Angela Davis.
Do you know what rappers Kanye West and Ludacris, wrestler John Cena, and quarterback Tom Brady have in common with WPFW?
We're all celebrating our 35th birthday this year.
But if Kanye and Ludacris haven't invited you to celebrate, don't worry. You're a big part of the party happening right now at WPFW. Give something special to the station that gives you great music, real news, and the talk and information you can't hear anywhere else. Every day is worth celebrating when you turn on WPFW, so don't miss the party. Make that call and stay tuned for the best year yet. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Call now.
WPFW, Washington.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus, live now. Live at Ben's Next Door. Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 12th and June. Mark, Terry, and Garland, three minds linked and locked in analysis, wit, and sagacity. Every Tuesday night, live. Live right here, 7 p.m., WPFW, 89.3 FM. Welcome again. Live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine, sitting here with...
Garland Nixon.
And Terry.
That's what confused me. Terry wasn't here, so I thought I was Terry
for a
minute.
Is the Dr. Democracy sick tonight?
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to go with a third less sagacity.
That's it, man.
Well, it may be like more taste, less filling.
That's right. Two-thirds the normal amount of sagacity.
It may be. Well, Garland and I are the raucous
and
caucus.
All the fruity goodness. And whatever that means.
I have no idea what that means. With Terry gone, it seems like the puns have gone down a little bit here.
Oh, gosh. Garland. Yeah.
We are here at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street, right next to Ben's Chili Bowl, Northwest. Come and join us. If you're listening on the radio, that's great, but we'd love to see your pretty faces and come in here and you can.
And we got an extra mic.
We
have an extra mic. You can go on WPFW 89.3 FM right here. We got a microphone. Stop by Ben's Next Door. You got good comments. We got kale.
I tried kale for the first time tonight.
That's good stuff, Mark.
And I got to tell you, I green vegetables scare me, but that was, I'm sure, as good as kale could be made
I'm telling you, man.
But if you don't like kale, you can do like crab cakes and other
beer and things like that.
So tonight, we're going to talk about sex. Oh, look at all the people coming up the stairs. Wow, all I had to do was say sex.
That's right, man. Tonight, are you running for a Republican nominee?
Tonight we want to talk about your sex life and why it is that the Republican Party should control it.
Why shouldn't they?
Well, because Rick Santorum has been talking a lot about why the Republican Party should be in charge of your sex life. And, you know, I don't know. Should you have your own sex life or should Rick Santorum and a bunch of men in robes tell you what to do?
We've got to get government out of every part of our lives except, of course, our sex life.
It's interesting because the Republicans got really angry when Texas Governor Rick Perry, who certainly is a conservative, wanted to inoculate young girls so they wouldn't get cervical cancer against the HPV virus. And they said, no, that's too much government interference.
Right.
What we want instead, according to Virginia's Governor McDonald, is we want to stick an 8 to 10-inch plastic tube up your vagina. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that too graphic?
No,
that's exactly what they wanted to do. They want to say that any woman in the state of Virginia, before she has an abortion, must have, whether or not she wants it, whether or not her doctor thinks it's a good idea, she must have a vaginal ultrasound.
A non-medically necessary procedure.
Now, there was a huge hullabaloo with comics pointing out that a woman who had been raped – would, if she wanted an abortion, be raped twice by the state of Virginia. And the bill was modified to require an abdominal ultrasound, which frankly, in the early stages of pregnancy, isn't even useful.
Right.
So it wouldn't even pinpoint where the fetus is. And let's remember, some 60% of abortions take place in the first 9 weeks, and about 90% take place in the first trimester when these things aren't even useful. But I'll tell you what it could do, Garland.
All right.
We could make women pay more money, and maybe they just won't have abortions, and maybe they'll have unwanted children they can then put on the welfare rolls, which Republicans will cut, so we'll have more starving children.
Not to mention, if they don't have medical insurance, then they have to pay for this procedure themselves, which costs a couple thousand dollars.
Right. So the idea is that rather than allow a very poor woman who can't afford a child to have an abortion, we're going to force her to have a very expensive child, not go to school, not go to college, and basically screw up her entire life. But we do so... We do so in the name of religion.
Well, what's interesting about that comment you're making is the we. Because what it ends up is this.
We men.
Right. I was about to say, because, you know, in our society, we is supposed to mean everybody. Every person, everybody who's out here doing whatever they're doing. But we, to this group of people, happens to be men, a particular group of men. But
the ones
we,
that wear robes.
Right. Yeah, we men are going to tell women what they have to do in our society. It's amazing that the Republican Party now is getting smaller and smaller, and now they don't even seem to want women anymore. I mean, let's face it, they're not going to have blacks, and they're not too thrilled about Latinos. And
no,
I think it's who's going to be left?
No.
After a while, there'll be actually the Republican
Party. You support Democrats.
Yeah, the Republican Party will consist of Rick Santorum and his sidekick.
Well, speaking of Rick Santorum, because there's a lot of issues today. There is some Virginia law I want to talk about. Rick Santorum.
President Santorum? Elect?
Don't say that. Please, that might just make me vomit, and this is a very nice place, and I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But Rick Santorum said that that Jack Kennedy, John Kennedy, President Kennedy's very famous speech, where they said, you know, you can't be president because you're Catholic, and he said, I don't think the Pope should tell the President of the United States what to do.
Right.
I'm going to follow what I want to do. I'm not going to listen to the dictates of the Vatican. I believe in a firm, absolute separation of church and state. Rick Santorum, another Catholic, said about John Kennedy's speech that made him vomit.
What's it? You know, again, we look at what's going on here. We joked in the past about the Republican Party being the Taliban of the United States.
Well, there's some truth to that.
Yeah, but what's happening now? And again, it's interesting because the people, it's revealing their base. It's revealing. What's happening now is we're revealing who the Republican Party, you know, people like us have always said these are who these people are. We know who they are, but it's really being revealed now, that you have this fissure, you know, you have this crack, along socioeconomic lines of what they call the mainstream Republican Party, which are really, they're like really, really rich Republicans, and everybody else, the working class, the working poor, et cetera, in the Republican Party, who have revolted against their, quote, mainstream, but they are, you know, social throwbacks, you know, Neanderthals.
Sure.
And they're so far out of mainstream that...
Rick Santorum has said that he believes that contraception is wrong. And he wants to, as president, he believes it's perfectly fair for states to ban contraception. And what fascinates me about this entire argument is that you would think people who are against abortion, and let's face it, there are people who are against abortion for moral reasons. I'm pro-choice, but I understand the people who are against for moral reasons, religious reasons. The thing about contraception is it actually prevents a woman from having to have an abortion.
Right.
If you really think abortion is evil and wrong and murder and a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, you should want more access to contraception so that women don't have to make that awful choice whether or not to have an abortion. What the contraception debate tells you is it's not about whether or not a fetus is a life or an embryo, is a human or all. Those are the questions they put in your faces, right? When they show you pictures of aborted fetuses. That's not about it at all. When you make it clear that it's about contraception, what it really is women's bodies belong to men.
Right.
And women's sex lives belong to the government. And if you believe that, you really do need to vote for the Republicans this fall.
And I fear that you have erred early in that comment, Mark.
I have erred.
You've erred because when you talked about what it's not really about, you were making a very, very reasonable argument, and there's no reason with in the way they see things. You know, the old who was it that said, was it Voltaire that said you can't reason a man out of a belief that he didn't reason himself into? These aren't reasonable beliefs. Don't make sense in the world of logic and ration and reason. And so when we try to reason with these arguments, we're actually talking we're talking the wrong language. This is crazy. This is crazy stuff.
It does.
We've gotten on the short bus to crazy town, Mark.
Well, it doesn't make any sense politically as well. So here the Republicans used to focus on the economic situation, which makes sense. Unemployment was high. George Bush bequeathed us a pretty terrible recession that we're still living under. President Obama has made things better, but we're not out of the woods yet. But now the unemployment has dipped from the high nines to the low eights. It seems that, well, at least Rick Santorum believes, let's talk about socialism.
Yeah.
Let's talk about contraception. Let's demonize gay people. Let's control women's sex lives. And Virginia, they're declaring a medically unnecessary procedures for women. Here's what I don't understand. This may well help Santorum in the primaries. We're going to see.
Yeah.
Michigan and Arizona are going to vote tonight. Santorum has been zooming up in the polls. He may even – I don't know that he'll win Michigan, but I think he'll get pretty close in Mitt Romney's home state. But what's fascinating to me is this is kind of showing us the base of the Republican Party. It's very hard for the Republican Party to argue that they're out for the middle class, they're out for poor people. When Mitt Romney,
no, they're out for the middle class, all right.
Give them
they're out for them with
a shotgun.
You're right.
But I meant helping them. But now they've moved to social issues. It's fascinating. They had a recent hearing in Congress, and I'm going to talk in a minute about President Obama's plan under the Affordable Health Care Act to allow women to have access to contraception at no cost, and why I think that's a good idea, and why I think that universities and hospitals shouldn't be exempt, even if they're run in part by the Catholic
Church. I guess that means you're
a
communist, Mark.
I guess so. We're going to get to that in a second. But what's fascinating to me at first, Garland, is the optics of it. They had a hearing on this plan, and the Republicans didn't allow any women to testify.
Why would you allow women to testify about women's issues?
Well, apparently, according to Republicans, Garland, it's not a woman's issue. You see, it's a religious freedom issue. And a woman, the Democrats actually put forward, and I used to work in Congress, as you know, and the rules are pretty simple. You get a hearing, you get four people, the majority party gets three of them, and the minority party gets one of them. And that's just the way it works. The three witnesses are chosen by the majority party, one witness is chosen by the minority party, the chairman stamps it, and you have your hearing.
And the chairman can reject the minority party's witnesses.
In my 3 years in Congress, I never saw it. But we have just seen it.
Yeah.
There's a woman who wanted to testify how contraception saved her life. She actually has a certain kind of a medical disorder. I'm not a doctor, but it relates to clotting, whereby if she gets pregnant, it's a danger to
her life. Right.
So in her case, contraception was medically necessary. She tried to give her testimony, and the Republicans said, no, I'm sorry, you can't testify. That's not about religious freedom. And so even though we want to make it very hard for you to get contraception, the issue has got nothing to do with women's contraception. It has to do with men's ability under their religions to deny women their contraception. You see the difference there.
Yeah, clearly. And, this has gone to madness. And when I look at it right now, I think two things. Number one, I think, the Republican Party is drifting towards Santorum, maybe because of all of this craziness. But I tend to think, and if you remember, Mark, I said from the very beginning, Mitt Romney's not going to be the nominee.
Now, you predicted Newt Gingrich just a couple weeks ago. I also
missed it. Remember, I said Herman Cain at one point.
Okay,
but you'll notice a consistency.
Yeah, but you were smoking something at the time.
I may have been wrong on one part. I always, Cain, Gingrich, Smingrich, whoever. But consistently I said, Mitt Romney will not be the Republican
nominee.
He is a Mormon. And if he, worst case scenario, if he is the nominee,
I think he will be
then they will split, then the party will split and they'll run some other third guy. There's no way that Southern base is voting for a Mormon. That ain't happening.
Well, no,
these are not people that like diversity.
I do think Mormon. I do think Mitt Romney, Willard Mitt Romney, will be the nominee of the Republican Party. I agree with you that the South won't like voting for him, and I also think that President Obama is going to be reelected. But
it's looking pretty good right now.
But I got to tell you, what's fascinating to me is that the alternative is Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
Rick, I want to control your sex life, Santorum. So it's amazing to me that the America that values their freedom their freedom so much that they don't want to let their child be inoculated against a cancer that can kill them and is likely to kill them. That same party wants to say, but our sex lives, we give over to the government. We don't trust the government with our health care. We don't trust the government with our taxes. But our sex lives, who we marry, what we do in the bedroom, that will let the government control.
But let me ask you a question, Mark, about that whole the issue. This is something I feel. Okay, the issue with the women getting inoculated so they won't get the papillomavirus
HPV, right,
or whatever. Okay.
Right.
Don't you think that if, like, all of the leaders of the Republican Party, the Rush Limbaughs and the Santorums and all these other people have said, we're for it, and the Democrats have said, well, we're not so sure, that all of these people that were against it would have been 100% for it? Because
maybe.
What's pathetic is, it's. I mean, look, these are people that when Barack Obama recommended a tax cut, they were against it.
That's true.
It's clear.
Maybe they're sheeple.
Right. It has
they're
nothing
not people,
to do. Yeah.
Sheeple.
This is not about, in any way, shape, or form, about the substance of the issue. This is about who is putting forth the issue. Not much else.
You're partly right, Garland. I mean, I certainly
only
agree.
Only partly right.
Only partly right. I'll tell you why.
Not wholly right.
I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay.
Hold your horses. So you're absolutely right. Cap and trade, Republican idea. Obama proclaims that they hate it. Affordable health care act, Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. Obama proclaims
Willard.
That they hate it. Cutting taxes. Republicans used to think that would be the ultimate Republican wet dream, and then President Obama proposed
can't
it. They
stand
don't
it.
Like it. But when it comes to sex, Republicans are uniformly against it, and they have been since the 1960s. The reason why fundamentalists don't want girls to be inoculated against HPV is because they think if they could scare their children into saying, little girl, if you have sex, you're going to die, that she's not going to have sex. And just to make that possibility real, they're not going to inoculate their daughter because – that way, their daughter may really die if she has
sex.
And that way, as their own child is dying, they could say, tut, 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 you should have listened to me. Now you're going to die. So there are really conservatives who believe that the best way to keep little girls from having sex is to keep this threat of death available. The idea that they would actually sacrifice their own child rather than have a teenager having sex is astounding to
but
some
you,
of
let
us.
Let me ask you this.
But this is the same party that, let's face it, if you go to television, right, we watch on TV, it's about 12,000 murders in a lifetime, but show one woman's breast and there's a huge fine. Because Republicans believe that murder and violence is natural, but a woman's breast is not. You understand?
It makes perfectly good sense to me.
Right, right. Because
that's the way I
violence
see it.
Violence is good, sex is evil. That is the Republican mantra. Don't have sex, kill someone, be a Republican.
It's really weird. And you made a great point, and that is that the Republicans were screaming, you know, jobs, the economy is an issue. We really have to talk about the economy. We got to get this situation straight. Barack Obama, it's all his fault. Although the economy – and what killed me was about the question. They would always raise this question. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Yes, we're better off than we are four years ago. We were losing 800,000 jobs in 1 month, and now we just gained 240,000 jobs. Now, so what happened was this. They asked that question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And then the jobs count came out. We got 240,000 jobs last month. Oh, boy, we better stop asking that question.
Now let's talk about sex.
So let's talk about social issues. And then something else happened, too. And when they started – when Santorum started talking about social issues, when they started going, they noticed that they were exciting their base.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a person who's talking to an audience and they say this and the audience is sitting – and then they find –
like showing red meat to a dog.
They find
they say – or sex. Oh, stop women from having sex.
I've heard comedians that I knew said – you know, I've had – that I've known that said, you know, I've been telling jokes to an audience and I'd go down this alley and that alley.
Right.
And then I would tell a certain type of joke and they'd laugh and I'd say, well, that hits that audience.
That's
and
right.
I keep telling jokes about that. And they'd love it. And I think what's happened is they felt their way around. And I tell you, when I think Rick Santorum made his move, when he made his move was in Iowa. And think about this. He was down at like
1%. Yeah, yeah. No one listened
and
to
then
Rick
Santorum. Rick, so, and they were talking jobs, economy. And Rick Santorum said, well, I'm not going to give black people other people's money so they can live happy.
Oh, yeah, race card. They
like
that card,
when
too.
He played that,
like
he
card.
Jumped up like 40 points.
Right.
And I think that's when he said, that's where it is. The race, the sex, the social issues, the things that can play into fear and anger. My God, I forgot about fear and anger.
That's right. You got to get beyond thought. And then Newt Gingrich, of course, tried to out-race-based race.
Yeah, right.
bait him with Barack Obama, the food stamp president. But, you know, since
he ended up on the moon.
Had already won the race baiting vote. And, you know, there's only so many races to go around.
And let's face it, Newt ended up on the moon. And, you know, sooner or later, Newt, you ever notice, sooner or later.
If he hadn't ended up on the moon, he would have had
sooner or later, he always ends up on the moon.
Yes. Both figuratively. For those of you who don't know, those of you who haven't been watching Newt Gingrich because you prefer your sanity. Perhaps,
you're right, yeah.
Newt Gingrich had talked about a manned base with the, like, 10,000 people.
Yeah, a colony.
A colony on the moon. Get those natural resources.
Well,
there's oil on the moon.
I'm a sci-fi person.
I don't know.
I can picture it, you know. Battlestar Galactica and all that. I love that stuff. But I just don't think we can afford it right now. The good news is that we got a colony on the moon. The bad news is 45,000 people died last year because they didn't have health insurance. You know, let's go with the health insurance.
No, the moon should be our focus.
We can send them to the moon.
The people without health insurance.
There we go.
There you go.
They can't spread their little diseases around to the rest of us.
That way they won't get too much
oxygen. Yeah, yeah.
And
whatever they had, they won't spread their pneumonias and stuff.
It's a big idea. I think he'll fall in love with the guy.
Yeah.
You never know. I want to talk, though, about President Obama's plan that got so much news. Because some people are saying it was the best political movie ever made. I actually think it was entirely an accident. But for those of you who don't know, in order to implement the Affordable Health Care Act, the act that the Republicans derisively call Obamacare, as if a president who cares is a bad idea, I guess it is. But in order to implement the plan, they had to decide what's covered and what's not, right? So, you know, if you have cancer, it's covered. If you have a heart attack, it's covered. If you have a procedure for Botox, that's not covered.
You're right, yeah.
Right? Okay. So should contraception be covered? Well, it turns out that the vast majority of sexually active American women use contraception.
99%, as I understand
It's about that high. It's about that high. For Catholics, it's as low as 98%.
Yeah, oh, my
gosh. So it's a huge, huge
variation. There's a gulf. There's a chasm between
Catholics. There's a double in the number of Catholic women versus other American women who don't use contraception. So it's a pretty regular health thing. And here's what's so fascinating about contraception. Insurance companies want to cover it for free.
Right, it's cheaper than pregnant women.
That's exactly right. There are very few things insurance companies want to cover. We all know they charge us out the wazoo. They want to cover birth control because pregnancy is covered. And I don't hear religious groups arguing that it shouldn't be covered. Pregnancy is covered, and insurance companies know, and frankly every parent knows, that guess what? a pill is a lot cheaper than a child.
Yeah, right.
It just is. You can't deny that point. So insurance companies wanted to provide it for free, and given that so many women use it, and it's actually a very important thing, and for some women it's medically necessary, Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, said that all women under the Affordable Health Care Act would get free contraception.
Yep. Frankly, it would have to be offered.
Right, they don't have to take it.
Right. Okay. But their employer must offer it.
Right. So then the question was, who would be exempt from this? And in order to respect religious institutions, Barack Obama said that churches, synagogues, mosques, any religious place of worship would not, if they didn't want to, because a lot of synagogues would do it, but if they didn't want to, they wouldn't have to provide this part of it to not just to the priests, the nuns,
but to their workers, to the people
janitors,
that work there, yeah,
the janitors,
like employees,
exactly. You know, the guy that cleans the floor,
right?
It may not be Catholic, or the woman who cleans the floor, but she won't get the contraception. Okay, so then the next question came: what about Catholic-related institutions, specifically universities, hospitals, charities? Look at a place like Georgetown University. Now, Georgetown is a Jesuit. It's a Catholic university. It has a majority of non-Catholic students.
You're right.
A majority of non-Catholic professors. And a majority of things they teach are not theology. In fact, there's very little theology at Georgetown. They teach science. They teach math, English, literature. It's a world-class university.
Science? My gosh, the Republicans. I'm surprised the Republicans aren't protesting that place. Right? Science?
President Clinton went
to Georgetown.
It's ungodly. So here's
blasphemous.
The idea is because the Catholic Church has founded Georgetown, that therefore they could take the professors, the students, the janitors, the I guess the people who work in the food stores in their at Georgetown University, and all of them, again, not Catholics, and say, guess what, women, now that you work for us, we control your body parts. They belong to us now. And it's not just universities, it's also hospitals. like a lot of Catholic hospitals out there, and the vast majority of them have non-Catholics.
Well, you know what the other thing about it is?
I think Catholics want them. It's not just right. non-Catholics.
98% of them are going to take it.
Want birth control.
And you know what kills me? All they're saying, if you're on a hospital or university or whatever, that it must be offered.
Right.
They're not saying you've got to grab the women, hold them down, you know, hold their noses till they can't breathe, and then shove these pills down their throat every day.
They're not passing condoms in the pew.
No.
You put your money in the plate, right, and you get out a condom. No, that happens in the gay bars. It doesn't happen right. in the Catholic churches. The government isn't controlling that. So the Republicans are all up in arms, saying this is an attack on religious freedom. If the Catholic Church wants to force non-Catholic janitors who clean up the food store located on Georgetown University's property, if they want to force that woman to have a baby, then gosh darn it, the Catholic Church could do that.
Right. It's really absurd. But again, we're getting back to, you know, the politics of message, not the politics of reason. That's what this is all about. You know what I mean? It's all about the politics of message. It's almost like, I'm a firm believer that tax cuts aren't even real. Tax cuts are all about a message. It's all about saying to their people, you don't have to share anything of yours with anyone, the radical individualism. And they say tax cuts and that's symbolic. A lot of the things that they talk about, they're real in a sense that they really make something happen. But in addition to that, they're very symbolic of what they're standing for. And part of it is they're evil. Barack Obama is an evil, ungodly Muslim person. And right. we over
Who has
here.
A radical Christian preacher.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And he's an atheist right. socialist too. Don't
You're right,
that.
I forgot that.
And he's Kenyan.
Yes. Well, and so it's, he's
and
all
he does
of these
a terrorist
things.
Fist bump.
And what I want to do is talk about things that separates him from us. So I can demonstrate that he's different from us in so many ways. Some that I can't necessarily come out and say.
Here's what I find so extraordinary though. It goes against the Republican rhetoric. If you listen to the Republican rhetoric, it's a libertarian rhetoric. It's Ron Paul. It's get the government out of our lives. Get the government so small you can drown in the bathtub, Grover Norquist said. Ronald Reagan said, the worst nine words or the scariest nine words in the English language are, I'm the government and I'm here to help you. But when it comes to our most private things, who we marry, who we have sex with, whether or not we decide to have a baby, what we do with our own bodies, when it comes to these very private matters, they want the government to have complete control. They don't want the government to provide you affordable health care because you should have the right to pay through the nose
right.
for your cancer. You should have the absolute right. If you want to pay $1 million to get your cancer healed, you should have that right. You should not be able to have the government save you money on insurance. But you should not have the right to choose what you do with your body parts.
You should not have the right to choose
who you marry.
Well, I don't think it's rhetoric. I think it's propaganda, and I think there's a difference.
But how does anyone buy that?
Because when you have
very few women, Catholic or otherwise,
well,
that don't use contraception.
I didn't say it was smart propaganda. I said it was propaganda. Because remember, if you're using propaganda, it doesn't matter if you say something one day and you say something that goes against it the next day and something that goes back to it the next day, because propaganda is only it's only designed to deliver a message. It's a means to an end. So propaganda are words designed to do something. It doesn't matter what they say. So it doesn't matter if the propaganda contradicts itself from day to day because the method is, it's a method. It's not real communication.
I'll tell you this. I hope the Republicans keep it up all the way to election day.
I'm loving it.
Because then President Obama would win in a landslide. Folks, we are the Raucous Caucus. Sans Terry tonight, Garland, Nixon, and I. 89.3 FM. We're here every Tuesday. And right now, we're at Ben's Next Door. You can come and join us. We still got a half an hour left in the show. We'd love to see your pretty faces. 1211
Eastern Northwest. And even if you're not pretty, we'd like to see you anyway.
Well, Garland wants to see you if you're not pretty. I would it's okay. Whoever you are, we would like to see you. Come on down to Ben's Next Door. The Raucous Caucus will be right back after this.
WPFW celebrates Black History Month by honoring African Americans who've made significant contributions to our society. You can call Ida B. Wells many things. She was an educator, journalist, newspaper owner, and an early leader of the Civil Rights Movement. She was born in Holly Springs, Mississippi in 1862. She attended Shaw University, a school for freed people, which is now known as Rust College. When her parents died from yellow fever, in order to keep her siblings together, Wells dropped out of school and took a job as an elementary school teacher. She resented the fact that white teachers were paid $80 a month, while she was only paid $30 a month. This inspired her to become more interested in the politics of race and improving the education of blacks. On May 4, 1884, a train conductor on the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad ordered Wells to give up her seat and move to the smoking car, which she refused, since the Civil Rights Act of 1875 had already banned racial discrimination in public accommodations. That was 71 years before Rosa Parks had an identical situation on a bus. Upon refusing, Wells was dragged out of the car by the conductor and two men. She sued the company and won her case on December 24, 1884. Unfortunately, after the railroad company appealed to a Tennessee Supreme Court, the ruling was reversed. This incident showed an example of Wells' tenacity in the struggle for fair treatment for African Americans. She became active in the anti-lynching campaign after seeing three of her friends become victims of this barbaric act. She began to research and document lynchings and their causes and found that blacks were lynched for such reasons as failing to pay debts, not appearing to give way to whites, competing with whites economically, and being drunk in public. Her findings were published in a pamphlet entitled Southern Horrors, Lynch Laws in All Its Phases. In 1896, Wells founded the National Afro-American Council. Wells formed the Women's Era Club, the first civic organization for African-American women, which was later named the Ida B. Wells Club out of respect for its founder. For her contributions and celebration of Black History Month, WPFW honors Ida B. Wells.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine with
Terry D. Nixon. Well, Garland Nixon, but Terry's not here in physical form, but I kind of feel his spirit floating around us, Mark.
Oh, ow! Oh, yeah, ooh, yeah, ow, that hurts!
Yeah, right.
Terry, stop it! Yeah. It's the ghost of Terry.
The spirit, yes,
it's beating
spirit
me up.
It,
well, there may actually be more sagacity tonight now that Terry's gone.
Yes, right.
You were saying, I know, I was thinking how you and me, Garland, together, we just are at ease, we're talking, everything's very
it's
pleasant.
It's weird because we need somebody to be wrong all the
time.
We do. We need someone to be completely and absolutely in outer space with all of his thoughts and beliefs. That's pretty much Terry.
We need that foil.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, we're getting along way too well.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's
so,
the problem.
So we'll try to be more raucous. We'll try to think something that
we'll vilify Terry whenever we see an opening.
Well, it's appropriate.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we will do it whenever we can. We are at Ben's Next Door. There is still time to join us at 1211 U Street Northwest.
That's right.
Right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. If you haven't joined us in the past, please do. All you have to do, you go next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 1211 U Street. You go right into the back, up the stairs in the mezzanine, and you see our wonderful Raucous Caucus, along with Daniel on the boards here, and Khayal in the audience, and others. And all you have to do, you get to eat up here while you're
oh, man, and hang out is just really cool.
It is. It's very cool. We hope you'll join us. So tonight we're talking about three things that your mother told you never to mention at the dinner table. Sex, religion, and politics.
Wow.
Right? All those things that your mom said, you know, when you go to that nice dinner party, don't bring up religion.
You're right.
Don't bring up politics. And God, no, don't bring up sex. Well, what did I teach you, right?
Yeah, you pretty much hit it.
That's right. So today we're going to talk about all three and the way they mix with each other, because Democrats believe that the government shouldn't tell you what to do with your body, shouldn't tell you who to marry, shouldn't tell you it should make life easier for you to get health care. Republicans believe that the government should tell you who to marry, should tell you what to do with your own body, should tell you whether or not to have a baby, and actually mandate that you stick little tubes in your private parts.
Yes.
And that's, of course, the most recent mandate of the Virginia government.
But you know what they don't believe in? In Wisconsin, they're about to do away with the law, the equal pay law for women. They're about to do away with that in Wisconsin. They don't believe in equal pay for women.
No, women should get equal pay, but they should be required by the government to stick probes into their vaginas.
Yeah.
Because if you've been raped and you want an abortion so you don't have the rapist's child, the government of Virginia wants to rape you just one more time.
But if you're a female doctor performing that procedure, then you certainly shouldn't be paid the same as a male doctor that procedure.
No.
Certainly, we've got to do away with that kind of communist way of thinking.
It's all about men saying they know what's best for women. And if you vote Republican and you're a man, then obviously you want to control women's lives. And if you're a woman and you vote Republican, then you understand that men should control your lives and tell you what to do. And I'm sure all the Republicans
kind of like a black person vote for a Republican. Kind of like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. That's the way I see
it. It is. It's kind of like that. Only you would hope a chicken would know better.
Yeah, you would hope so.
So in Virginia, understand the reason for this law, Garland. It's not because it's medically necessary. Some abortion people, doctors, do ultrasounds. Some don't. It depends on the gestation period and the woman and a whole bunch of things based on medicine, based on science. But Republicans aren't much believers in science.
The reason is this, Garland.
Republicans believe that if you show a woman an embryo, a forming embryo, that therefore they'll be less likely to abort. What's fascinating is studies have shown it doesn't affect the abortion rate at all. No. That a woman who's made the often wrenching and difficult decision whether or not to carry the embryo to term, once they come in, they've pretty much made up their mind.
It's kind of like harassment. Basically, it's kind of a form of harassment.
Right.
It's kind of a form of
government mandated punishment. That's right. Because basically the government wants you to have that child. Now, once you have the child, they want to deny aid to the women that have the children. They certainly don't want to give health care to the child. They certainly don't want to give food stamps to the child. Let the child starve, but let the fetus live. You understand the distinction?
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this, Mark? And that is, I have on a couple of occasions seen or heard Republicans on TV talk about fairly reasonable moderate Republicans talk about how they were aghast at what was going on. Talk about how they heard their wives and daughters and
you mean the Virginia law?
Yes. Okay. Talk about how they heard their wives and daughters, say, "What in the world are you people doing? What's happening to our party?" It's amazing to watch this happen, and it's like the Republican Party is melting. What's going to happen, Mark? Here's my question. I need a prediction. How is this going to affect the presidential direction that the Republican Party has taken? How do you think that's going to affect things between now and November?
I think it'll help the Democrats. Look, I am a Virginia resident. And we told people in Virginia before the most recent election, Virginia has elections on odd years for no good reason, frankly. I think it should be on even years for the rest of the country, but I guess it's existed for several hundred years. Anyway, so before the most recent election, the Virginia Democrats had control of the Senate. Mm-hmm. The Virginia Republicans had control of the Assembly. We went from a Democratic governor, very good governor, by the way, Tim Kaine.
Oh, yeah, he was.
To a pretty right-wing guy, Robert McConnell. But no one was
That's an understatement.
Well, no one was really complaining about the governor because the Democrats in the Senate and they only had like a 2-vote margin.
Right.
But that was just enough to bottle up all these bad bills that Republicans started because the House would pass it, the Assembly they call it.
Right.
The House of Delegates. And then the governor supported it, but the Democratic controlled Senate would stop it. Well, we told people that if they elect Republicans that
this is what they're going to get.
So what happened in the most recent election in 2011, the Republicans won half, 20 out of 40 seats in the Virginia Senate. And because they also voted for the lieutenant governor, who breaks the tie, Bill Bowling, that meant effectively the Republicans got control of most of the Virginia government.
Yep.
So they have the House of Delegates, the House of Burgesses, they have
the Senate,
just barely with the tie and the lieutenant governor, and they have the governor. So all these bills that Republicans have been waiting to put forward, things like let's end the 1 month. There used to be a waiting period in Virginia that you had to wait a month to buy
get
a gun.
Gun. Yeah.
You couldn't buy 100 guns at once for the simple reason that most hunters don't use 100 guns to shoot a deer. It's kind of unwieldy to carry 100 guns and shoot them all at once. You're probably likely to be shot. You can shoot yourself. What was happening with these guns is they were gun running. They're running them down to Mexico for the drug gangs to be used to kill thousands. In fact, more than 10,000 innocent people in Mexico have died in the drug wars that are basically financed mostly by Arizona gun dealers.
Right.
but the Virginia dealers wanted a piece of it. You know, why should Arizona get all the money for murdering Mexicans?
Right.
We want to murder Mexicans too, because we can make a lot of money murdering Mexicans. And so, if this one gun a month law, that allowed Virginians to hunt and self-defense and things like that. But if you want to go and murder Mexicans in massive numbers and make a huge profit doing it, why should Arizona get
If you want to be on the international arms market.
Exactly.
Arizona
was getting all the money. Virginia gun dealers want a part. It helps the economy. Murder is a profitable thing.
You're right. I never thought about that.
That's right. Absolutely. So they pushed their Republican friends, and along with the bill requiring women to have medically unnecessary ultrasounds, this is this other bill to end the 1 month
waiting period
for guns. So there's a whole bunch of bills that Republicans have been struggling to put through, and now the trapdoor is open. Now they're all going through. The Democrats of Virginia are doing their best to stop it, but they just can't.
Right.
I got to think this is going to mean that Virginia is going to become more blue. I think it has to. Because if you're an independent,
seen the independents, the numbers of the independents with President Obama recently?
They're supporting him. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I was talking with Walter Fauntleroy one day. I'll never forget. And he said we were talking about the civil rights stuff and Bull Connor and all that stuff. And he said, always be thankful for the extremists because they push the center. I'll never forget that, because they push the center towards you.
That's true.
And right now, the Virginia legislature, the Santorums, et cetera.
It votes for Democrats and Republicans.
They are pushing the center. I mean, they're not pushing the center away. They have guns to their backs, and they're driving them. And I think they're actually shooting at them, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the
people in the center are ducking for their lives right now. There's live rounds coming at them.
Just yesterday, we had, of course, the tragic shooting in Chardon, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
A student who, guess what, was lonely. He lost his girlfriend to some other guy. These are things that actually happen to other students in America.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
really do. It's not that uncommon for a kid to be lonely and angry that he lost his girlfriend to someone else.
That was pretty much my entire high school.
I wasn't going to pinpoint you.
Yeah, right.
I've heard stories,
but
I didn't want to share those on the air. But
I didn't have a girlfriend to lose. Maybe that's why I was lonely and upset.
There you go. Well, hey, the thing is that without access to a gun, you just have an angry teenager.
Right.
Maybe even sullen. Maybe even a little depressed.
Right.
But with a gun, suddenly he can now take out the guy but this is what Republicans want. They believe that if someone steals your girlfriend, you should have access to a gun to shoot them. And one of the things they really want is minors to own guns. Because, let's face it, if six-year-olds were packing, then that guy that raided that Amish school,
the fourth grader would
take him down.
Yeah,
that's what they believe.
You know, I always believed, when the Republicans say, if everybody, if we had more guns out there, that there'd be less murder. I always kind of think of like a small town out in the desert where a couple people get bitten by rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
And they say, if we would just give everybody a rattlesnake to carry around, less people would get bit.
I guess so. Well, all you have to do to contradict that is look at England. I mean, England's got lots of problems. Heck, they have soccer games.
European communists?
In massive, massive fights.
Yeah,
but those people, because they don't have guns, they just get beaten up.
With chairs and stuff like that?
Oh, it's brutal.
But you're
not going to a British soccer game.
But I tell you what, if I got to take my druthers and one guy's here with a bar stool and the other guy's packing a Mac 11, I'm going with the bar stool here.
I agree with you. I think that's a lot safer.
But
it's interesting because some say the social issues are going to split Democrats, and nowhere more is that an issue than in your home state of Maryland.
Maryland, good old Maryland.
It just passed the Assembly and the Senate both passed marriage equality bills, allowing gay people the same freedom to get married that straight people enjoy. Governor O'Malley, to his credit, has been pushing hard for the issue. He didn't push 2 years ago. It didn't pass. This year it pushed. And what's fascinating about this, of course, is the split among Democrats, because Maryland is a blue state. You don't get much bluer than Maryland.
During the 2010, when everyone else lost Democrats, Maryland actually gained some seats.
Maryland voted for Dukakis. Enough said. That's really all you
in
need
Maryland,
to know.
If there's an R behind their name, we ain't voting for them.
Right, unless you're on, I guess, the eastern shore.
Yeah, well, that's not Maryland.
I'm not a Marylander.
Maryland.
I don't know if them's fighting.
Eastern Shore. The Eastern Shore is a wonderful place. I love the Eastern Shore.
Okay, you're just taking
I go fishing
back
over
everything
there.
You
no, actually,
said.
I love it. I go fishing over there and stuff all the time.
Okay,
but there's a lot of Republicans
there
over there.
Republicans.
But they're generally nice Republicans.
That's
nice people.
I love them. What's interesting about Maryland, of course, is that Of course, the vast majority of Democrats voted for the bill. They actually needed a couple Republicans to switch over because a number of Democrats voted against the bill. And they may be hearing our voices right now. Most of the people opposed to the bill lived in Prince George's County.
Right.
So there's this issue that is delicate to bring up. But I think...
Well, don't bring it up if it's delicate. You know, we don't bring up delicate issues here on the Ruckus
Podcast. Well, while we're talking about sex, religion, and politics, the three things we're not supposed to talk about, why not throw in race?
Might as well.
Because, you know, sex, religion, and politics aren't explosive enough.
Right.
If you add race to the mix...
And abortion. We talked about abortion, so we got to throw race in
there. I think we're just about, you know, stepping on everybody's toes.
There we go. Leave no stone unturned and no listener unoffended.
Listen, what happened is now that the governor signed the bill, it's going to go to referendum. And so Maryland, in the November election, the same election where they're voting for Obama's reelection, and everyone knows Maryland will vote for President Obama.
You think?
I'd be willing to lay a lot of money
on that. Yeah, right. That's a state you can pretty much count on.
What's not a safe bet is whether or not Maryland will uphold what its legislator did, whether it uphold the marriage equality law. I think it can. The polls now show that 50% of Marylanders support freedom to marry for gay people, 44% oppose, and 6% are undecided. So marriage equality is ahead, but it's very close. And some of the places that it's, well, let's face it, not as well supported is in the black community. Now, to be fair, I think that the black community is more church-going.
I was about to say that's what it is.
Than the white community. And if you look at white church-going people,
they're
all Republicans, and they're, of course, opposed to
marriage. Well, right. Yeah, you're right about that.
So I actually think it's a little unfair to make this a racial issue, because if you look at black church-going people and white church-going people, the black church-going people are going to be more supportive
of civil rights for gay people
than the white church-going people. But when you compare blacks as a whole and whites as a whole, and you take out that church-going mix, you find it's about 55% of whites support marriage equality, 55% of blacks are opposed to marriage equality.
And you find the more, and it's the whole religion and church going issue, because the black community tends to be more socially conservative than they are politically conservative, historically. And again, I think it's the religion issue and it's the church issue.
I wonder if part of it is sort of mixing two things that really aren't the same.
Yeah.
Both under the rubric of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of African Americans are concerned about single parents, in the black
mm-hmm.
community.
Yeah.
And that's an issue to be concerned about. It's tough for a single parent to raise children. But somehow they conflate, a gay couple raising kids with single parents raising kids, and that's just, they're just, apples and oranges there.
Yeah, you may be right, but I tend to think that it's more of the other. I tend to think that it's more
it's the church.
It's the church issue. Not necessarily the minister telling them. I think it's just the church issue overall and the religion issue overall influencing the community.
But here's what I find interesting, though. Right here in the District of Columbia, I worked on marriage equality mm-hmm. in the district. The district, of course, has a majority black city council. And we got, I believe, all votes but one. Every single member of that city council, white and black,
mm-hmm.
save Marion Barry. He's the only one that voted against it. Everyone else voted for marriage equality and, of course, signed by a black mayor. So it's certainly – I think it's unfair to tar – you know, blacks with opposing marriage equality.
Right.
When you look right here in D.C., a majority black jurisdiction, a heavily black city council and the mayor, and all of them supported marriage equality. But I do think it's going to be an issue in Maryland. And I guess my question for you is, how do you sell marriage equality to a religious African-American?
Yeah, good question. And I wish I had an answer. I couldn't even begin to answer that one because I have no clue.
I mean,
I do think this.
When you talk about it as a civil rights issue,
yep.
Some people get upset because.
They feel like, you know, civil rights issue. You know, that's my side. You're working my side of the street some extent,
right.
You know. But I do think here's an issue that I think we need to talk about. And that is the issue of referendum period. Because keep in mind something. During the Jim Crow period, if you'd have put civil rights to referendum, it would lose. But
that's
it wasn't
true. The majority of Mississippians and Alabamans didn't want to give blacks civil rights.
When the military was integrated, 77% of the people in the military were against integration, and this was pretty, and the military was probably like 33%, you know what I mean?
Right.
So basically, when I was with the ACLU, you know, I was vice president of the ACLU in Maryland, the Board of Governors, And I remember then looking at some studies that showed how, you know, the Bill of Rights didn't poll very well.
No.
That a lot of people look at the basic, you know, rights, freedom from unreasonable search and seizure and blah, blah, blah. And people would, you know, make these absurd statements. Well, you know, I don't have anything to hide. But, of course, until, you know, they got searched.
Right.
Then all of
right.
a sudden. So when it comes to people's rights, to individuals' rights, or when it comes to group rights, they never poll very well, and the numbers of people do not reflect what's right and wrong, or what's moral or immoral. And all too often, groups, when you say, let's put this to a vote and let everybody decide, all too often, a group is going to decide the least moral of the two choices.
I was just going to say, in the 1950s, in the McCarthy era, they brought out the Bill of Rights, and they asked people to sign it as petitions, and the vast majority of Americans said, I'm not going to sign that radical, radical communist document. Here's, I guess, first of all, I wonder how many, and you could, maybe you can answer this question better than I can. I wonder how many.
Oh, one question, and that's what's going on in New Jersey. That's why Chris Christie,
well, he vetoed it,
and he said, I think it should go to referendum.
Right.
For that, just that
Although
reason.
Although in Washington State, they just passed the law.
Yeah.
So it's coming across.
Well, the other thing is this. Well, you know what it does? It takes it out of his hand. If he puts it to referendum and it passes, then he can say to his conservative friends, I didn't have anything to do with it.
But here's the thing. This is the last great vote on equality in American history. It really is. I mean, remember, it used to be white Christian men who owned property who were only ones allowed to vote. They got rid of the religious requirements, the property requirements. They let women vote. I guess it wasn't me. I wasn't around then. Women were allowed to vote in the 20s. You know, blacks were ostensibly allowed to vote with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments after the Civil War, but it really didn't happen until the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This, I think, is the last great vote on equality. And I wonder if people realize that they would be on the wrong side of history, that here they have power. I mean, there's just so many ways that people are powerless in our society, that poor people are powerless. We talk about those things all the time. We talk about the racism that continues to exist. But here's a case where people have power to allow another group of people the same rights that they have. And I think it's the last great vote. And I wonder, it always makes me think of the white people in the 60s. Who were opposed to integration of the schools.
Right.
And every now and then you find an article in the Washington Post, 50 years later, there's some, you know, you show this girl and she was 16 and you show her angrily maybe spitting on a black girl trying to go to school. And now she's 66 years old and she apologizes, and she's teary-eyed and she can't believe that was even her in the picture. I wonder if people who vote against the freedom to marry for gay people who vote against equality, will 50 years later have to explain to their grandchildren, you know, I don't know how I cast that vote.
You know,
I was a different person.
And I've said it right here on this show. It happens every time, Mark. You know, this is my feeling on this. When just like don't tell in the military. You know, whether it was women's suffrage, whether it was African Americans being able to vote, or the civil rights, or all of these other things. 50 years later, we look back and we, you know, our palms hit our head and we say, I can't believe that we were so backwards as to believe fill in the blank. So I'm a firm believer that 50 years from now, we'll look back at don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
We'll look back at the marriage equality, and we'd say, you know, I can't believe that we were such Cro-Magnon, you know, cave people that we couldn't see that, in effect, it really is it's leaving people the heck alone. This is the way I see it. You're just leaving people alone so they can live their lives.
Right, exactly. I mean, should the government tell you who to marry, or should you decide that for yourself?
Yeah,
it's kind of like, should the government tell you you should have contraception or what you do with your own body or whether or not you have a baby, or should you decide that for yourself? You know, you talked about 50 years from now. I don't know how many Americans are aware about 50 years ago how incredibly forward-thinking Martin Luther King, Dr. King, was on this particular issue. In the 1960s, gay people were still put in jail for being gay. It was still a felony. They were rounded up and put in prison. And at that time, the famous Bayard Rustin was organizing the March on Washington, perhaps the best organizer ever of the civil rights movement, including Dr. King. I mean, he was better at it than King.
Right.
He organized the March on Washington, and Bayard Rustin was gay.
Yep.
And everyone in the black leadership knew that, and a lot of people came up to Dr. King and said, look, Bayard Rustin. He did really well. He organized this march on Washington, but we really should let him speak at the march. We really, because he's gay, if that comes out, it'll make the whole movement look bad. And Dr. King, to his credit, stood up for Bayard and said, no way. He did a terrific job organizing this. He's going to speak here. His sex life is no business to me. Yeah. And Dr. King, 50 years ago, took that stand, which it's actually amazing because no one took that stand.
The thing about it is with Dr. King, and it goes back to what he stood for, because when they would talk about civil rights, many times he'd say, this is not really about civil rights. It's about human rights.
Yeah.
He always stood up for human rights. Basically what he said was, black people aren't getting human rights.
That's right.
That every single person deserves. So though we may use the term civil rights, it's really everyone should be on a level playing field no matter who they were. And it's as forward thinking as it was, it's so consistent with the way he saw the humanity as one group. Everybody's the same.
And to her credit, Coretta Scott King has always supported gay rights and throughout her life. And she's always been consistent on that point, like her husband was.
Right.
And I would hope, this is not the last time we're going to talk about this. It's going to be a big election in Maryland in November. A lot of our listeners are from Maryland, and we'll do some in studio, let people call in and tell us what they think. But I would hope, listen, young people get it. You find almost anyone under 30, and they're like, why would we deny anyone the freedom to marry? What's the issue? And you find people under 40, most are with freedom to marry. You find people over 65, the vast majority are against it.
You're right.
So the issue is coming. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And I just think that people that vote against freedom are gonna be asked, you know, how could you vote against freedom?
It's funny, you know, my daughter's in college, and when I go to some event or whatever, I see her classmates. You know, they don't delineate between who's who. They are so accustomed to having a Middle Eastern friend, an African American friend, a white friend, a Jewish friend. They are so accustomed to a rainbow and gay or whatever a person's religion is, and they have children who come with who are Muslims. I mean, who have the headdress?
The hijab?
The hijab. They are so accustomed to this diversity that when you say things like this, you know, when you talk about conversations like this, they look at you like you've got an eye in the middle of your forehead, like, what are you talking about?
Well, remember, 50 years ago, a marriage between a black person and a white person was outlawed.
It was illegal.
In a number of states.
Virginia.
We have a president of the United States whose parents would have been illegally married in Virginia.
Right. When he was born.
At the time
he was
born.
He would have been locked up.
That's exactly right.
Aren't they making a movie about the love couple or something?
I don't know. Are they?
I think they're making some movie about the couple in Virginia, the loves, and they're not.
The loving, Mildred Loving.
Yes, I think they're making a movie about this.
Oh, very interesting. Where? That's a famous case.
Where? And this is a good example. We look at this now, and there are people who are on quote both sides of the issue, but we look back there and we see a man and a woman had a child. The child was taken from them and thrown into an orphanage, and they're thrown in jail.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Because they're different.
It's all about power, and it's so many people are powerless, and we keep trying to give people power. And let's face it, most people who are powerless want to help other people who are powerless get equal freedoms. But there are some people who say, you know what, we've had it bad, we want others to have it bad too. A lot of the poor white racism, frankly, comes from look at the Ku Klux Klan. Who are they? They're people who've had terrible lives who want to make other people's lives terrible.
And sadly enough, people who themselves were taken advantage of.
Child abusers often were abused themselves
and
as children.
As much as they talk about the Southern culture, the history of the Southern culture didn't work well for 99% of the people. The history of the Southern cultures were you had a small minority of rich planters, plantation owners, tiny 1% minority who owned slaves who were wealthy, and the other 99% of the people were dirt poor farmers,
they were the ones fighting for the Confederacy, Civil War, because the rich guys got out of the...
The rich plantation owners got all the good fertile ground.
Well, let's bring this all to home, because we started talking about sex.
And we ended up talking about fertile ground in the South.
Well, that's okay, because race always comes in. But it seems to me that the Republicans are playing with fire. And
hooray.
I gotta say this. Back in 2004.
And I celebrate that, I might add.
I do too. Back in 2004, you could be anti-gay and it won you a lot of votes. Back in the 1960s, you could be anti-contraception and it won you a lot of votes.
What about anti-women? I don't think that would ever win you many votes.
No, but abortion was not legal in many states until 1973. I think the more they talk about these social issues, the more it is that President Obama is going to win re-election. I just
right now, all he's got to do is get out of their way.
That's true. Let them fight each other.
They're heading off a cliff.
Did you see that Tim Toles cartoon?
No, Washington Post?
It had this Republican, this elephant, right. And he was hitting himself, going, ow, ow, ow. And there's Barack Obama, and he's in the ring watching the elephant hit himself and thinking, I'll just sit here. I'll wait.
I can kind of picture a train track going off a cliff and the Republican train going off a cliff, and he's just standing there beside the train track looking like, well, don't let me get in your way.
Well, I don't want to take it for granted because I do want people to get out and vote. But we hope you've enjoyed the Raucous Caucus tonight, where we talked about sex, religion, race, and politics, all those four issues that are very calm and non-explosive. If you want,
Terry will be back next week, won't he?
Yeah, Terry, I think we'll be back next week.
The answer would be no. But...
So Gar and I won't get as much time, but we're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. We'll be in studio, 89.3 FM. If you want to hear this show, you can go to my website, marklevinetalk.com, and hear this show after the fact.
We want to thank Daniel.
Absolutely. Daniel's always here and always great.
Right, David
here
Kelly.
David Kelly in the studio, our audience tonight. Thank
and you,
you
can
very
Facebook
much.
Me. My name's Garland Nixon. Facebook me.
You can Facebook me too, Mark Levine. And we will
see you next Tuesday
you next
at 7.